across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Now, I'm joined by Mr. Daniel Rajan. Now, I should have said, when I said orthopaedic surgeon, I should have said retired orthopaedic surgeon, because you've just retired, haven't
yes,
you?
Yes.
3 weeks
right.
ago.
3 weeks ago, that's right, Ian.
So are you doing all the DIY and all the things that you've been meaning to do for ages?
I've done DIY on the bones for a long time, so not anymore on bones.
No, you're just going to do, are you going to keep running marathons, presumably? That's part of what you do, keep
yes,
training?
Of course, that's something which I want to take up a bit higher on a wider scale.
Yeah.
And I plan to do more marathons, and I've been doing some charity work otherwise, and that's got busy. So I look forward to spending more time with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, keeping yourself busy. So how long were you working in the National Health Service before retirement?
I joined the NHS on July the 22nd, 1995.
Right. And you worked at King's, I think, didn't you?
Yes,
up
I did.
In London for
I
a
did
long
work
time.
In King's for 4 years after my training in higher surgical training. I worked there for 4 years as a consultant in trauma and orthopedics, and then I came down to far from the madding crowd, Huntington.
were you living in Cambridgeshire when you were commuting to King's? Because it's quite a long way, isn't it, all the way over to South East London?
In fact, all through my life, I've been in Cambridgeshire, one way or the other.
Right.
I mean, when I say all through my life, my orthopedic part of my life, I've been in Cambridgeshire. So I did commute between Huntington and Cambridge throughout that. I'm sorry. Huntington in London.
Throughout that time?
Yeah.
And the area, you're an orthopaedic surgeon, which of course is an area of specialisation, an area of surgery in itself, but you have a particular specialism on the ankle and that area of the body, I believe. Is that
right?
That's right.
I think these days, as you probably gather, most orthopaedic surgeons specialise in a small field, shoulder, elbow, whatnot.
Yes.
And my speciality is the foot and ankle. And I quite enjoy it. It's a very forgiving joint in one sense, but in another sense, very unforgiving. So quite a challenging small joint in the body, the ankle
and,
joint.
And what would have been the common reasons that people would need, obviously knees, we know often people's knees need doing or hips need doing. What would cause ankles to have problems?
The ankle most often complains when there is an unaccustomed trauma.
Right.
A lot of people get away because there'll be a bit of niggle here and there, but they just limp along and the ankle sort of heals itself on its own. However, certain injuries linger on for on and on and on. And most often they're sports-related trauma and a twisting injury. All it takes is a simple missing a step to turn the ankle awkwardly.
Yes.
And get a major fracture to the ankle. Mind you, but there are everyday small activities we do which loads the ankle in a very unusual way, and you can get niggles and pain here and there quite often.
Really? What kind of things might we do that we might not realise could damage our ankle if we're not careful? Are there any common ones?
I think coming down the steps.
Right.
If you miss a step.
Yes.
Of course, the ankle will say, I'm sorry, you didn't treat me quite well.
Yeah.
Especially, when you're not really concentrating, you're actually carrying a big, heavy object in your hand. You're trying to get things from the first floor to the second floor.
Yes.
And you're not quite concerned whether you're putting your foot in the right way, are you?
No.
So if you put the foot in the wrong way and miss a step, and that's enough to create a major nasty fracture to your ankle.
Yeah, I can imagine, because I know just twisting your ankle, which is easily done, is really painful, isn't it, if you do a bad one. So I suppose that whole area of the body, the ankles, they're things you have to take care of when you're running, and running is something that you do. You run marathons, don't you?
Very much. I think the ankle takes a big beating, as it were, at the end of a 42-kilometre run.
Yes.
And a lot of marathons, a good chunk of it is run on pavement or tar road. So it's good. If you do a lot of marathons, it's good to take care of your footwear, to change the strides as you go along.
Yes.
And also your cadence, your speed. It's good to change and keep the ankle, if I may put it this way, protected. In the best way possible.
Yes.
All through the time you're jarring the ankle in a heavy manner. Mind you, when we run, we are loading the ankle nearly 6 to 7 times more than the normal body weight.
Wow. It's incredible, isn't it?
Yes.
And I do, not like you, but I do a bit of running. I go to a gym 4 times a week.
Excellent.
And part of my cardiovascular workout is 10 minutes on a treadmill, and I chat. So I don't do road running. I run for 10 minutes, but I run quite hard on a treadmill. And I know that the shoes that you wear, your running shoes, are very important. And there are places here in Cambridge, but also around the country, where you can go along, and I've had this done, and they will video you running, and then based on slowing that film down and looking at how you run and how your feet land, they will recommend the type of shoe that you should wear. Do you think it's is that a gimmick, or is that something that people who do a bit of running at the gym should do, do you think?
I hesitate to say that it's a gimmick.
Right.
However, let me be practical.
Yes.
You need a comfortable pair of shoes. The heel counter, when I mean that, the back of the shoe.
Yes.
Should have a comfortable, snug fit around your heel.
Yes.
And while you run, the toes shouldn't hit against the front of the shoe.
Right.
So as long as the foot is contained in its own shape and size, the shoe is okay. But if you're a serious runner, then you got to think of the sole and the tongue of the shoe. You know, the tongue is the part that comes between the laces.
Yes.
If you're a serious runner, you got to consider the sole. Are you going to put a lot of running on the forefoot, or are you going to do what I call the thud running? The whole foot takes the weight.
Yes.
The thud running. But most often, most runners do a lot of weight bearing on the forefoot if it's a slow, comfortable jog type of marathon, which is what I do. I'm not a professional marathon runner. So you need to really take care of the sole. There are umpteen brands, the Nike Zoomfly. I don't hold any shares with Nike. However, the Nike Zoomfly is a good one. The new Swiss technology, the cloud technology, which is ergodynamically superb, and that's a excellent brand. And what one can do is to go to one of these marathon events, or maybe half marathon events. There are lots of stalls there who will give you a pair of shoes to try and walk around a few minutes, and that's the best way.
See what feels comfortable.
What feels comfortable, safe, and a good pair of shoes that don't fight the foot. Don't cut the foot to fit the shoe, but get the shoe to fit the foot.
Well, there you go. That's good advice.
That's my original. Yeah.
And these marathons that you run, you've done, I think, at least 2 this year. You did one in Paris.
I have done
Paris
3 this year.
3.
Yeah, I did the Paris marathon.
And Norway, the midnight run.
Yes, I did that, yeah.
And when you ran that, which you ran and raised money, Paris, you raised money for prostate cancer. Norway, I think you were raising money for Romsey Mill.
That's right. The Paris was for prostate cancer.
Yeah, but when you ran the Midnight Marathon in Norway for Romsey, raising money for them, how much money did you raise, by the way, for
Romsey? I think for Romsey, a very little amount, only about £700 or £800.
I'm sure they were grateful
yes,
to receive it.
They were.
But you had a bit of a personal challenge going on there, didn't you? Because tell us the circumstances in which you were running in
That's
terms
right.
of your shoulder.
Yeah, I mean, while I was operating way back in January this year, I tore a tendon on my right shoulder. So that had to be fixed. So I did the usual physio. I had a good, excellent shoulder surgeon at Addenbrooke's Hospital, Lee Van Rensburg, if I may mention his name.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And what happened is I did get a place at the Midnight Sun Marathon as well. But my shoulder operation happened to be on June the 5th.
Right.
And the marathon was on June the 22nd.
Yes.
So I didn't want to let go of this place because people had said they will sponsor the charity. However, thank God, the operation went well. And June 5th was the operation. June 19th, I had the wound inspection, and the nurse said, all is good, the wound is clean. So my surgeon said, you must be crazy to run, but however, it's left to you. He's a good friend of mine as well.
Uh-huh.
So my wife said, you are crazy. So what we devised a camel bag to put my wrist and hand in, and my wife kindly strapped my whole shoulder to the chest. And I did the the Midnight Sun Marathon at Tromsø.
Incredible. We should say that your wife, I think, is a doctor as well, isn't she?
She is, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So she knew what she was doing.
Yeah, she knew. She told me, do you really want to run? But I know you will run, but you are crazy, so you are anyway going to run. Go for it.
Wow. At Tromsø,
Tromsø, yeah.
Yeah. Which is, it's dark a lot of the year round there, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's dark throughout winter time. And it's north of Norway. The Midnight Sun Marathon is the northernmost certified marathon in the globe, on the globe.
Yes.
I thought, let me try that if I can do that. And,
wow.
So it was nice to do that
and raised,
with the shoulder there.
Yeah, with the shoulder and raised all that money. And have you got your, I mean, now you're retired, I suppose you've got a little more time to train, or you can fit your training in. Have you got another marathon in your sights coming along?
Yes, I'm doing the half marathon tomorrow.
Oh, right.
Yes, the Wimpole half marathon tomorrow.
Yep.
I'm trying to raise some money for the Children's Liver Disease Foundation. A colleague of mine lost her daughter to childhood liver disease.
Right.
And I thought I'll do something for the Children's Liver Disease Foundation. Yeah. So that's the one coming immediately.
And are there any marathons, because clearly you travel a bit to do them, are there any that you haven't yet done but you want to do?
I like to do the Galilee Marathon. And something I did a short run in Dubai a few years ago. And I'm thinking, oh, that's lovely to run in the desert. So probably the Dubai Marathon as well next year in March. But definitely the Galilee Marathon on January 3rd.
Yeah. And if you don't mind me asking you, can you tell me how old are you?
I am old. Guess my age.
Oh, I was hoping that's the question I didn't want to go.
Hey, I'll give it back to you.
I asked the questions.
Well, I'm 60 years and 6 months.
Right.
Yeah.
And proof that, you know, keeping active and everything, long and healthy and happy retirement, which is what I hope you'll have. Listen, Daniel, I could chat to you all morning, but we have to end it there for now. But it's been fascinating finding out all about the work that you've been doing for the last sort of 30 or so years. And I wish you a happy retirement, and well done for raising all of that money. So there
Thank
you go,
you, Ian.
Daniel Rajan. It's lovely to chat to you.